and take a seat. We'll get started here. I'd like to introduce you to these three guys. Many of you know them. They've been Boost around Boost for a while. They've been a part of the Boost community. But let me give them an introduction. Dave Hershberger down here on the end. Got a great last name. He's dedicated his career to developing, manufacturing, and delivering assisted technology for individuals and with disabilities. We're actually going to have him. I'll introduce the others, but then we'll come back and have him share first, because he is like 10 days from turning things over to another, to the next generation, I guess. So Dale Yoder, he and his wife live in Michigan. He's a Lake Huron Financial. Does that sound right? Okay. He's taking probably a different journey than most financial planning people to get there. I don't know any others, at least, that took his journey. So we'll hear a little bit about that. Randy and his wife, Julie, live in Huntington, Pennsylvania. They, for you trades guys, he knows some trades. They've owned several businesses in the whole trades area. And he's also going to be talking a little bit about some transitions they're going through. Transitions in business. The reality is change happens. We've heard that, and a lot of times it comes with pain. But how do we navigate that? So these guys are going to tell a little bit of their story. We'll start out. We'll just go right down the row here. If you could just give us a glimpse into your story and your journey in business.
Okay. Am I on? Okay. Thanks, Brian. So as Brian said, in 10 days I will retire. Actually from a company that I started working for when I was 16. And so this is my attempt to summarize the past 46 years in 6 minutes. But I thought what I'd do is just pick a few circumstances, a certain situations during my career that changed me and I believe changed the journey I was on. So like I said, 1978, I was a junior in high school, and I went to the joint vocational school and took classes in the morning and went to had a job in the afternoons and evenings. The company I started working for was a Prentke Roma Company, or PRC, a small company on a dirt road in Holmes County that made devices for people with disabilities. And it was within a few years I found that I had found my calling. The electronics part of it was interesting, but I really found that my passion was providing voices for people who couldn't speak, people who might have autism or cerebral palsy, ALS. And I also realized that if I were to pursue this interest and this passion, I would have to get more education. And so in 1982, I started taking evening classes at the University of Akron. And 11 short years later, I had a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. So by this time, I also was married. My second child was on the way. And I was in charge of PRC's research and development department. So I had my dream job. Everything was going well, and I found out I was getting restless. And I realized something about myself, and that is that at some point in my life, I would have to try to start my own business. I realized I could tolerate better quitting a good job and starting a business that may has a good chance of failing, more so than never to have tried it. And for those of you who are not entrepreneurs, this might not make a whole lot of sense to you. But for the entrepreneurs, I think that you understand. The problem that I had was where my passion was, and really the only business I knew anything about, was what I was already doing. And even though I had a different focus on who I'd be working with, I realized at some point I would be competing with the company where I had learned everything I knew. And Barry Romick, who was the owner of PRC, had always treated me more than fairly. And so I went to Barry and I told him what I wanted to do. And I told him that I wouldn't do it without his blessing. So I said, if I get your blessing, if the business fails, it fails. If it's successful, in 10 years, I'll sell it to you if you want to buy it. Now I can, looking back, this is a little bit naive of me to do. I can think of very few people who would actually do this. But Barry said, yeah, he's good with that. And we shook hands. And that's what happened. In 1996, I started Saltillo Corporation. And in January of 2007, I sold the company to Barry. And then a couple years later, we changed it into an ESOP or an employee-owned company. And so from 2007 to 2017, we worked as a division within PRC. And I absolutely loved that we were a small company in a bigger organization. We had some good growth. So by 2017, we were about 45 people. And again, I was living the dream. We were having a good time. And then the CEO of PRC retired. And Barry asked me to be CEO of the combined company. And so I'm always open for a good challenge. And so I agreed. But I realized real soon that I had two problems. One is that I hadn't prepared Saltillo to function without me. An electronic company doesn't survive by continuing to do what it did well in the past. It has to anticipate change, take risk, have a vision of where it's going. And although we had some incredible people at Saltillo Corporation, I had not built this within others in the organization. And in this case, we'd be okay because we were still part of the larger organization, but I vowed to learn from the experience. The second problem I had was my leadership style. Someone once referred to it as a benevolent dictator. I thought this was a little harsh, but probably true. And to be honest with a company of 45 people that I had, a company I had grown over time that we'd been working together, I felt I had pretty good tabs of what was going on. All of a sudden, I was responsible for 250 people, and I realized my leadership style had to change. And so about this time, John Stalwart had his first master cohort and invited me to join it. And the topic was transitions. And the transition I decided to focus on was not the transition becoming CEO, but it was to plan for my retirement 5 years down the road. And so through that process, there's three things I decided to focus on. One is to combine into a single company. So not only did you have PRC and Saltillo, we also had a company in Germany, Australia, and the UK. And they basically, each of them functioned largely independently. And I felt we needed a single company with one mission, one culture, and core values. And so we really worked at combining that into a single company. The second thing I did is to change my perspective of what it meant to be a CEO. And it went from leading a company to building a team to lead the company. And then the third focus was on making so that when I retire, preparing so when I retire, rather than leaving a gap, I position the company to take a step forward. And so this has been a lot of my focus over the past six years. It has been some of the most rewarding years of my life, not always the most fun. I had to give up doing a lot of things. Some things I really like doing, but not surprisingly, with the right team in place, I found others could often do those things better than I could. And I found the team could run and grow the company better than I could have on my own. So we're up to about 400 people around the world now. But I think the most rewarding part is that I feel that I know that the work that I've been part of for 40 years will continue without missing a beat when I head off to retirement. And that's a good feeling.
Thank you. It's awesome. We'll come back to you. Go ahead and Dale, give us a glimpse into your journey.
All right. I was born, I'll give the year. I was born in 1960 on a family farm. My father was a bivocational pastor and farmer. And so I grew up on the farm, enjoyed farming, dug right in. You know, my brother and I, there was four children. There was three boys and one girl. My oldest brother, Merlin, and then Gloria, Daryl, and myself. And really enjoyed farming, got into that. Did not enjoy going to school a great deal. My mom just thought I had to go to college and become a dentist. I have no idea why she thought that. Because I had never expressed any interest in it. But so that was my path. I grew up in the family farm, watching my dad very involved in ministry. For you older people here, you may remember him. His name was Luke Yoder. He was involved with the mission board and with the conference. And what I learned from dad is very, very benevolent, very giving. And that kind of enters into what the story is coming up. But as I worked with in the family farm, my oldest brother, Merlin, went off and farmed on his own. He just lived a mile down the road. My just older brother than me, 3 years older, ended up working together. Dad really stepped back and let us do the farming. He ran the books, did those types of things. But even in high school, my brother Daryl and I did a lot of the farming. We farmed, you know, at that point, maybe 600-700 acres. We had probably 8,000 or 10,000 laying hens and fed out beef cattle. And the farm continued to grow. And fast forward to age 45, my older brother, by 3 years, maybe I felt like he was always the one in charge. I'm kind of along for the ride, midlife crisis, I don't know what you call it. But at about age 46, it was like, I just felt like I needed to do something different. And I had a buddy that was a financial advisor, and he'd come to me probably two or three times over the years and say, Dale, I think you could do this job. You need to come and do this job. And I'm going, I love farming. I'm perfectly fine. It's a family farm, and I just want to stay here. Yet, about the time I was 45, some of those things were breaking down in our leadership. We owned the farm together, my brother and I, equally. But I called my buddy one day and I said, you know, I think I'm ready to come and give this thing a shot. And he said, well, maybe a couple of years. And I'm thinking, no, like, I'm thinking like next spring. You know, I was ready. And he made that happen. But he gave me good advice. He said, Dale, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to sell the farm or at least the equipment. Otherwise, you're going to be going back. And that was such good advice because it was the most challenging couple years of my life. There was a reason, besides the career change, the one thing my wife and I talked about was we want to find a job. And this might sound a little funny to you all, but we wanted to find a job where I could make a lot of money. That is not maybe the Mennonite thing to say, but I watched my dad give money away. I had to think this morning, he was the pastor and we would go to different activities of the church. I watched my dad almost always drive his vehicle. I watched him pick up the tab if we happened to stop at a restaurant. And those are things probably most pastors don't even get the opportunity to do. Fortunately, he was farming and he had some of those opportunities, but I got to watch that. And my wife, Phyllis, and I was like, if we're going to go through all this work of changing a career, I'm going to try to find something that I can make a lot of money at is so we can give. And that was our goal. And we may come back to some of these things and some questions, but long story short, I didn't go to for 11 years of college, but I spent 6 months of studying, getting my license to do securities. I don't have a college education. I thought that getting the license was very challenging, and it was, but it was nothing about compared to what I had to do in the next year or two to try to get clients and to go out and put myself out knock on doors. That's how my buddy had me go out and knock on doors. And I thought I was kind of a respected businessman. I'd farmed for 30 years by that point. We had a successful farm. It was 1,200 acres by the time I could. We were feeding out 1,000 head of beef cattle every year. We had 50,000 laying hens, and we had a number of employees. And so here I was walking the streets and knocking on people's doors, introducing myself, and we'll let the story there. And if we come back to it, I'll tell more about it.
I want to come back to it. Randy.
I am told that I have administrative qualities. I have the attention span of the gnat sometimes. Repeat the question.
Just give us a glimpse into your journey of changes that have happened in your business.
Well, I think you guys started in your childhood or back. For me, growing up in a Christian household was a huge blessing. At age 10, I remember having a distinct, clear calling into ministry, not knowing what that meant, but significant time in my life. I must say, Joe, Lynn, I heard you overlay your personal with your business. I'm not the typical male. Males can do the whole waffle thing and women are like spaghetti. I'm more the spaghetti. And I think if men were honest with themselves, they're more spaghetti than what they think they are. And I think it is almost impossible for us to separate personal from business. It affects both directions. Some of our journey would include as a early teenager, watching my mom start with what would be a 20-year battle with dementia. I had decided that I was going to start with something different. God is faithful. When you asked, I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. But I couldn't say no because God has been so faithful. And also it resolved I wasn't going to get emotional either. In 99, I think we started our first business, and I think entrepreneurial spirit, giftings, tendencies, we started with landscaping, switched to electrical, then electrical grew into plumbing, and then that grew into HVAC to a certain degree. I get bored very quickly, and so that also included outside furnaces. And then it was a journey in that. In 2015, I had a very clear pivotal time in my life that would have included a heart check. What am I doing and why am I doing it? And remembering, like, all right, God, is this what you have for me? Is this what I'm going to do until I retire? Is that? And I was good with that. I was content. 2 years prior, I was not. And so I felt like I was in a good spot to say that and to be honest with myself and with God. And within 6 months of praying, I felt very clearly like, is this what you have? Or is this an opportunity to grow this business into whatever you have for it and to sell it? And would that be the opportunity that I would have then to be freed up to do ministry work? I would also say that looking back, I've had more opportunity in the electrical business and in the current businesses than in doing ministry and in reaching people than I do as a part-time pastor.
Yeah, by the way, that's one thing I forgot in introducing you. The most recent transition is into the pastoral team. Yeah.
So again, how do you summarize a journey in 5 to 7 minutes? Within a month of hearing that clear call, God sent one employee after another that was just phenomenal, that allowed us to think about what it would look like for our company to be self-sustaining and to function without me. Had a lot of advice from the other Dale Yoder. I thought for a while I was with that Dale Yoder, but I know. And God has just blessed us with so many people to walk with us. In 2020, right prior to COVID, we started talking about what it would look like for transition. My brother-in-law worked with us since 2003 full-time. February of 2003, I think, is whenever he started full-time with us. And part-time before that, we had the opportunity of working together in Virginia before that. So we had a long history of working together. And right prior to COVID, who I think was when we started this conversation of what would it look like, and he and another employee buying us out. And we'll talk about it later with the questions, what that council looked like. But we were very blessed, very blessed. God has been faithful. I can't say that enough. In 2019, prior to this, we would have bought out a residential contractor that was Amish and a good friend that we worked with. And so we were at that point doing electrical, plumbing, HVAC, outside furnaces, and now contracting. And I'm not sure if we were doing any of it well, but we were doing it. That led into the next season of life. And so I'm not very creative. So we went from Kish Valley Electric to Kish Valley Construction. We also have a self-storage facility that we purchased along the way.
Is that Kish Valley Storage?
Well, it had an existing name, but about a month prior to us buying it, somebody else took that name officially. So we have Gateway Self-Storage of Kish Valley. And then we also have Kish Valley Holdings and Kish Valley Crossing and so forth. But anyhow, so we've been just unbelievably blessed. One thing that has been really important for me to remember was this vision of at any point in time, I needed to be free of bondage of myself, that whatever God gives, it needs to be with an open hand. It can't be like this, because at any given point in time, I know that I had been called. So it's dealing with any transition, it's much easier to let go when you're already open. So currently we have Kish Valley Construction. The transition that I want to talk about most is Kish Valley Electric. I think we've been blessed by it. I would love to have Brian up here and maybe hear his side of or his take on things. But we've just been blessed.
We'll come back to that in a bit. I wanted to ask Dale, so your transition from farming, and you said all of a sudden you're going around knocking on doors. Did you ever second guess yourself? Like, what What did I get myself into? Tell us a little bit about that. How did you walk through that transition?
Yeah, that did I ever say? Yes. I told you all that my buddy that asked me to come in the business told me to sell my farm. Or I didn't sell the farmland, but I sold all the equipment. I sold Yoder Farms Incorporated, that we had a land company. He said, if you don't do that, you'll go back. I mean, the statistics are best is 2 out of 10 people that try to be a financial advisor make it. And probably at my age, that might even been a lesser amount. But second guessing, it was a daily thing once I started going out on the road and knocking on the doors. I told this group, I would get up in the morning. I had 4 kids at home, right? They were all at home yet. Just getting ready to, oldest just getting ready to head to college. Great time to make a career change. But I'd get up in the morning, I'd get everybody out, the kids out the door. Phyllis would go off to work. She was an RN. She kind of helped give a little stability during that time. I would go to the coffee shop because that's what I did in the mornings because of my extrovertness. I needed to be with people. And so I went, because all day long I sat in the tractor cab. So my brother and I went to the coffee shop most every morning. I'd go to the coffee shop and then I'd come back to my empty house and crawl into bed.
And don't bawl. Then I'd force myself back out of bed about 10 o'clock. My family didn't know that. And I'd go knock on doors. And sometimes I'd get done in those towns. And then I'd go to our church and I'd sit in the back bench and bawl. I guess the thing I want you to know is if God calls you to something, I want you to understand that you need to know why you're being called there. And you have to have that goal. And so I knew why we wanted to do this. I want to come back to that. I said I wanted to find a job that made a lot of money. It's a lot of money for me. I should clarify. It's maybe not a lot of money for some other people. But I knew what the goal was, and I knew it was going to be difficult. I had no idea how difficult. I would have never done it. I don't think I'd ever done it. And so that being sure you have a reason that you're making a change in your life is just so important. And again, just because it feels ordained by God to make the change, it doesn't make it easy. He doesn't make it easy. And my spouse was huge in making this work. My accountant, close friend that I talked to help me think if this was even a good idea to do, bring people alongside you. Those things helped me through that. So does that?
Yeah. Thank you, Dale.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Speaking of that, of knowing that you have a purpose and Dave, I'm curious, you talked about finding this very early in life, this is my calling. Tell us a little bit more about that. How did you get to that point of course, after Peter talked, you prayed a long time, right?
I actually remember the week that I realized this is what I've stuck doing the rest of my life. We were working on, so at this point I was an engineer and I was really just working on the technology. And so we had this awful project, huge project that went 2.5 years. And we were so tired of it, but we had developed what at the time was the most sophisticated device in our field. And they asked me to go down to Houston to do beta testing with some people. And I worked there, and there was a young woman named Kate May. She was 17, had cerebral palsy. And so this was the first time I actually really spent time with the people who used the systems. And I realized that there is nothing in life I could do with my technical background that would bring so much fulfillment, and where I felt that I was really in the center of where God wanted me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Randy, you mentioned you like to kind of say a little bit more about the transition of Kish Valley Electric, right? And that's your brother-in-law who is here. These kind of family things can get kind of sticky. How did you navigate that? Who'd you turn to for counsel? How did you make that transition?
Where's Peter? God. That's how we answer. Yeah. I consider Brian somebody that I could go to with anything now. But that wasn't always the case. There were times that let's just say we didn't approach life the same way, and we didn't see eye to eye in certain things. And that was a tough time. But by the grace of God, that changed. And literally by the grace of God. In the transition, actually, I think we had been advised to seek out a third party and somebody that had gone through a transition similar, different end result than what we did, but they advised hiring a third party, a company to help us navigate that. We paid a ridiculous amount of money, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. This third party happened to be a mutual friend. He worked for a company out of town, and so he knew our backgrounds. He knew us. That helped a lot in helping us navigate. But the only real directive that I think that we all had in mind was that we want to do whatever it takes to set up. You can never fail-proof anything. But we wanted to do whatever we could to set it up for success, and success being defined that we're friends 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That third party was very crucial in that, helping us be honest with ourselves and each other. And that was truly, that would be the if there would be, besides prayer, besides listening to your spouse and to others, it would be to get a third party involved in transition, for sure.
Yeah. Let's push that one out just a little bit further, because it strikes me that we have kind of three really different transitions. Retirement, there's probably people here that are near that time and kind of wondering how to navigate that. Career change. More than likely, there's someone out here contemplating a career change, selling a business, transition. Who did you turn to, or who helped you through that? And what advice would you give to people that are in a similar situation to you?
Advice is to be very honest and face it directly and really admit what you need to do. I think avoiding dealing with an issue doesn't make the issue go away. It just means it's harder to deal with it when it does come. Like I said earlier, going through John Stalwart's master cohort was very beneficial. I'm also very fortunate to have a very good board of directors, people that I can go to who have, they have a broad variety of backgrounds and but it's people that I can go to when I'm struggling with an issue and bounce it off of them. I also was part of a Vistage group. I don't know if you're familiar with Vistage. I when I first joined, I called it a support group for CEOs, but basically it's a group of people that you meet with on a monthly basis, and they're all business people with different types of business, but you get to know each other well, and you're well enough, and the business is well enough that when you bring issues, that they can help give you some guidance. But yeah, definitely, I found relying on people who have gone through the journey before me has been very helpful.
Yeah, I touched on that a little bit.
I just had a real trusted friend that had been my CPA for my whole life. And he wasn't until last year. He just retired. Mm-hmm. But just really was good to walk through that with somebody that could give other perspective. I want to touch a little bit, too, on the relationship between my brother and I, because that affected, obviously, when I left that farm. That made a big difference. Daryl and I had worked together for 25, 30 years. I don't know when you start farming together. And so my brother Merlin was living down the road a mile. In that whole story, they decided to farm together. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, this is never going to work. My brother Merlin, for you that maybe would have known him, he was a compassionate man. And he was about helping people by giving them jobs. And he used old equipment that was small, and he would get people out and work on his farm. He was a successful farmer, but he did it very different than a lot of farmers do. My brother and I were, my brother Daryl and I were much more efficient minded, and we tried to do everything ourselves. And I could just see, even I'm the youngest, but I'm 45 by now, and I'm looking at these two guys and say, this is not going to work. But they did it for a year. And then they went back their separate ways. But, you know, it was good for all of us. In that regard, I'd probably do it all over again, because I learned a lot of things. I found out that my brother Daryl was not running the whole business himself. Even though all I thought I was doing was agreeing with whatever he said, that agreement was a backup on what he was thinking. And when I left, he found it very difficult to make decisions. And I just couldn't hardly grasp that, because that was the furthest thing I thought I knew about my brother. And so I just wanted to touch on that a little bit too, because there's other relationships that come into that. But finding somebody that you can really rely on, that can look at something from a distance and give good insight, is very important in a transition.
Thanks. Well, guys, we're like right up against it already. So any closing thoughts that any of you want to share yet?
I would like to say to the transition in trying to get into this business where, you know, I probably went 6-7 years that didn't feel like I was making any money. I was better off farming. But the Lord was faithful, and that has changed. And the one thing I really want to talk about, and I'll be quick. I remember coming home one day and talking to my wife and saying, I'm making enough money here that I just don't even have much incentive to go to work anymore. Or I could coast. And she held me accountable and said, remember what we were doing this for? And that put a new spark in my step. Probably make four times as much money as that today, Phil, as we were then. We've been fortunate enough to be able to give half of our money away every year that we make. I know not everybody can do that. We're not, you know, we all have our different stories. But just a reminder of why we were doing that. I talked about that earlier, to know why you're doing it. And then thankfully I have a wife that reminded me why I was doing it. So that's where I'm going there.
Again, I've been reflecting a lot on my, you know, I tend not to look backwards. I'm a forward-looking person. But when you come to retirement, you're sort of forced to do some reflection. And I guess one of the things that has really struck me is that, you know, as I think all of us, as we've gone, especially those of us who have built businesses, there are things that we did well, but there's a lot of trial and error that we did. And I think one of the challenges that I've been going to me is, you know, how can we help that next generation maybe avoid some of the mistakes that we did? And so it's been a real challenge for me.
Hmm.
I think last comments for me would be, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Continual heart check, motive check, whatever you want to call it. What's your drive? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Why are you doing what you're doing? And when God does bless you, in financially, but otherwise as well. When God's blessing you, what are you doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
If God is not at the beginning, the middle, and the end of that, what are you doing and why are you doing it? I would encourage you to spend a lot more time with that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Randy. And that, the word picture that you mentioned earlier, I think, is a good way to close as well. That when, because this weekend is about changes, and it's a lot easier to change when God asks you to, when you're living like this with open hands. If you're clenching on, that's pretty hard to when he wants to steer you different directions. Great. Give these guys a hand. Thanks a lot for referring you guys. Sure.